What are we going to do about the Bible study since it is spring break and I am in New Madrid? That's the last text that I received from Anne Marie. She wanted to be sure that she got to attend the first girls' Bible study when she got back from spring break. What we're going to talk about today is seeking truth to become truth. As Christians, we always want to be learning more and more and digging deeper and deeper into Scripture. So this is important to you, seeking truth to become truth, because the more that we seek God's Word, the more that we seek the truths of this world, the more we can apply those truths to our lives. And in essence, we just become better people. We become more Christ-like. So really, this is everything. There are four parables and a story of Jesus in Mark chapter 4. And I could try to take this time and go through all of Mark 4 and go through all of those parables. I'm not going to do that. Instead of doing that, we are going to go on a journey where we look through what it means to understand a parable and how that applies to our lives every day. So, in seeking truth to become truth, what we really see that we have, we see it from these scriptures, is that we have the secrets of the kingdom. You see here this coming from Mark chapter 4 after the first parable is told. This is Jesus speaking to the apostles. He says, "The secret of the kingdom has been given to you." And then we see that because the secrets of the kingdom come from the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, then only people who are led by the Spirit have the opportunity to be able to see and understand truth. So that brings me to this point, and I want to emphasize the word "we" here, because "we" means us as followers of Christ. I also want to emphasize the word "opportunity" here, because we see throughout Scripture that just because we have a portion of the Spirit within us, that does not mean we will continue to seek truth and continue to evolve in our ability to understand the Spirit and understand the truths of this world. But this is a huge statement, okay? The secrets of this life, which everyone is looking for, is searching for in different ways, many times the wrong ways, we are the ones, as followers of Christ, living in the Spirit, that have the opportunity to know the secrets of life. Now, if this is really what it's all about, if our lives are about evolving, becoming more, understanding the secrets of life, understanding the secrets of the kingdom, the question has to be asked, what keeps us from doing that? And so I've really come up with a couple of things here. These are really the reasons that we don't grow and evolve and become more and continue to strive to understand the secrets of this life. We have pride, apathy, stagnation, unity coming before truth, and then we have life's challenges that may take us away from learning and understanding truth. So this morning, knowing that those are the challenges, those are the stumbling blocks of us coming to know truth, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures, and I'm just going to make three simple points. So if you take notes and you take down these three simple points, these points will lead you on a path that stacks on top of itself. It's an evolution of how you come to grow as a Christian and know the truths of this world better. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise." Now, what's really interesting to me about this scripture is that we see the word "you" over and over and over again in it. And if you look at the Greek for this scripture, you see different words being used throughout the entire scripture for the word "you." If you look where it says, "don't you," that is the Greek word "ou," which is the plural. So that means you as a church or as the temple, which is what it's being referred to here. Know that you, and this is the Greek word "eimi," which means singular, pointing out you, yourselves, getting specific about you in relation to the group as a whole, are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your, looking back to the word "ou" again, which is plural, in your midst. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you singular, but bringing you together, because the next word is together, you together are that temple. It's making a really clear statement. Paul is making a really clear statement here that what you do singular affects what you do plural. Anything that you do singularly affects the church plural. And it uses the word temple here. There's two words used for the word temple in the New Testament in the Greek. There's one that's a general use of the word temple, and there's one that's a specific use that we see in the Old Testament, the part of the temple where only the priests could go in once a year, and they had to have a rope tied to them. That was an inner sanctum of the temple. Nobody else was allowed in there. So if they were to die in there, that rope was so that they could be pulled out, and nobody else had to go in. It was the Holy of Holies, as we read in the Old Testament. That's what this is saying here. So what it's really saying is that what you do singular affects what you do plural in the most holy of ways, in the inmost parts of the church. And what do you not want to do singularly that's going to affect the church plural? You don't want to think you've got it all figured out, right? I mean, isn't that what it's saying? If you think you're wise, you should become a fool so that you can learn again. Now, this here at the bottom, "you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise." You may be wise by the standards of this age, but that doesn't mean you're wise by the standards of God's wisdom. And Paul, who wrote this letter, is the perfect person to make this statement, and I think this is going to blow your mind whenever I show you this, because I didn't know this. I'm sure I've been told this before and probably forgot it. But if you take a look at the word "Saul," okay, the word "Saul," this is Saul's Hebrew name. The word "Saul" meant "great one," and after the road to Damascus, we all know that Paul started using his Roman name Paul, and used it from that point forward after Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus. Now, Saul, as a persecutor of Christians and as a Roman, considered himself the great one, but with the change of one letter, Did you know that? I didn't know that until yesterday. So Paul makes the decision to stop using his Hebrew name, which is Saul, which means I am great, to use the Greek name, which means I am little. Now, why is he saying I am little? If you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. He was little because God was. It was no longer about him being great. Which brings me to this point. We need to fall in love with seeking deeper truths above you can't make this stuff up. Anne Marie, we all loved her very dearly. 2 weeks ago, we were meeting for a cup of coffee, and she asked me if we could do a study of the basics of Christianity. Now, she had grown up in church her whole life, and she was a baptized believer, but she wanted to go over the fundamentals again and had no problem asking me that. By the way, there were no indications that there was anything wrong with her. The week before last, we began that study and did the first study of those lessons. Anne Marie was someone who put seeking deeper truth over ego. There's a book called Mindset by Carol Dweck. She's a clinical psychologist, and in this book, she breaks people down into two types of people: those who have a growth mindset and those who have a fixed mindset. And she said the biggest difference between people that have a growth mindset and those who have a fixed mindset is that people with a fixed mindset are either A, people who think they have it all figured out, and if you think you have it all figured out, there's no need for you to learn anymore, or B, they are people who are afraid or embarrassed to let people know that they don't understand something. And so those people that have a fixed mindset can't grow because of those two things. They're going to stagnate. They're not going to grow. People who have a growth mindset, the people that have the greatest growth mindset are the people that are going to continue to become more because they're not afraid to raise their hand and say, I don't know. They're not afraid to be open with what they don't know so that they have the ability to grow and become more. They're not afraid to be called the little one when it comes to their relationship with God. This is Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, and then we skip over to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And then we skip to chapter 6. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. What is incredibly fascinating to me about this scripture is if you look at the top part here where it says, it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. This is in the NIV. The King James says, you have become dull, which in a sense is a better translation I found out, because the word dull translated into the Greek nothros, is only used twice in the New Testament. Now, that might seem fascinating, but when you really dig into that, it becomes a lot more interesting, because that word, nothros, it's a word in the Greek that's used specifically for animals that have become lame and they don't have any use of an appendage. So because they can't use the appendage, it becomes atrophy and like a stump, and it does nothing. Now, if you take that and you connect it to what we hear throughout the New Testament, Paul again speaking, or we'll say the writer of Hebrews speaking, you see that God is the head, right? You've all heard this before. And that we are members of the body, and we are the ones that carry out the will of God. So what he is saying here, it's quite an insult, really, if you think about it. He's saying you're an appendage, you're a member that does not function. If you take a look here at the parts highlighted, you ought to be teachers, but you have to learn the elementary truths all over again. You're not acquainted with teaching about righteousness. Solid food is for the mature, and they get that way because of constant use. You need to be taken forward into maturity. So we're taken forward because we constantly use the things that we learn. So we need to not only fall in love with deeper truths, but we will atrophy. We will backslide, right? If we don't fall in love with applying those deeper truths to our lives. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Where it uses the words knowledge here, love may abound more and more in knowledge of depth of insight. Where we live, our house is on a hill, but behind that hill is a floodplain. And here it's been several years ago now, about 2.5 or so years ago now, when we had that giant flood and like the highways, Highway 60 was flooding over and all that. We ended up with a giant river running behind our house. Literally, it was rapid. Like you could have taken a canoe down the river that was behind our house. Now, I'm very thankful for the hill that goes up to our house, because it kept that rapid flowing river from coming into our home. If you look at this scripture, it says that love may abound more and more. We see throughout the New Testament that love should flow and it abounds more and more. However, it has a hill on this side in knowledge, and it has a hill on this side, and that's insight. Flood water that isn't contained, it'll destroy everything. But if you have knowledge, and the Greek word is epinosis, and that means a wisdom that's gained over experience, and if you have insight, you can let love flow. Now, why do I bring this up when we're talking about seeking truth to become truth? Because in the name of love, people have fallen away from the truth, haven't they? So we want love to abound more and more and more with those banks, with those hills on both sides. And that leads me to my third point. We do need to fall in love with applying deeper truths like we saw in Hebrews, but we need to do it with difficult situations. When Christ went in and he flipped over the tables of the money changers, whenever he got on to his apostles, okay, he was doing that out of love, out of knowledge and depth of insight. Love can flow freely, and everything is going to be okay. We can't forget this if we want to seek truth to become truth. So what I'd like to do is just offer you a simple challenge. I didn't go over these four parables here, so this is what I'd like to challenge you to do this week. If I go back to the very beginning of this lesson, I said we have the opportunity to know the secrets of this life. This is your opportunity to read a parable each day of the week and to finish off with how Jesus calms the storm, which in a way you could look at as a parable for us today. When you seek greater truth, you find that the Bible tells us in Acts 2:38 to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And I'm so thankful I was able to have the conversation with Anne Marie's mom yesterday as a baptized believer and as someone who very tangibly, that I could tell her mom was seeking truth, that she was in Christ. If you would like to be baptized to have remission of your sins, or if you have any other need, you can come forward while we stand and sing.